So we were talking about, just to catch you up,
thank you.
We started with how thankful we were as we reflected on this time of the year that Alabama lost.
Yes.
And so that was for you.
My boys are still, you know.
Are they okay? Are they going to be all right?
They'll be okay.
Okay, good. All right. It could be worse. They could be from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So we were talking about different reasons that people have for why they don't attend church, and so I'm just giving a few of the high points that we had, and then one, you know, is family time is hard to find. So church is irrelevant. Maybe it's boring. Family time is hard to find. We need to spend time with our families. We already know the message that's being heard. We already know the Bible. We already know the theology. We already know the gospel message. We've got a better offer. Church is great, but lacrosse has to happen, right?
Right.
You know, there's just that just. We can't miss out on X, whatever that is. And so when I thought about these, I wanted to kind of break down some of the assumptions that go into this that I think is helpful. And I think we've all thought about this, or we've all fallen prey to this at some.
Christians don't go to church.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
So like non-Christians like don't like the hypocrites. And
yeah, there's a whole nother list.
Judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole nother list for why people don't go to church if you're not a believer. So yeah,
right.
Sorry, that was,
oh, okay.
Should have prefaced that. Yes, which would be an interesting, we could have that. I actually think that they're related, which is an interesting, but I don't have time for that right this second. I haven't thought about that well enough this morning to like dive into that. But I think where it started was this reality that people within the church who would call themselves believers are attending church less and less and less. So this is the trajectory, this is the trend that we see in at least the Western world, that people who would call themselves believers, who would say, I love Jesus, I want to call themselves Christians, but are attending church less. So why is that? And so we're trying to unpack some of those reasons. And so some of the assumptions that underline this, so here's, you know, here's the church. I'm an artist. And so the church is about, you know, my entertainment. And I cannot spell when I'm in front of people. Entertainment. There we go. It's about education. It's about self-improvement. It's about making my family better. And then the last one I had is it's about my social life. It's about making connections. It's about seeing people. It's about networking. It's about all of these things. And so there's probably a number of others that we could add to this, but these were just kind of the high points that I saw. Now, here's the trick. I think that there's truth in all of these, okay? The entertainment one is a little bit, okay. But there's something to be said for, let's take it out of entertainment and let's talk about something that's emotive, that resonates with us, that moves us or inspires us. There's something about that is part of the life of the church. But these are some of the assumptions that we have about what church is really about. And so if I kind of put all these here, it's really about me. Church is about me. And also notice that it's something that's separate from me. Like if this is me over here, then church is this thing apart from me that serves me, and it's really about goods and services that are paid for. And so you give, you tithe to the church, and the church provides you with these things. It gives you the tools that you need for making your life better and strengthening your family, or just gives you a platform or a space to meet with people and have fellowship, which is a very Christian word, and education and so on. So one of the things that we're really, I would say that here at Grace that we lean very heavily on. And again, we have to recognize that there's strengths with really all of these. This one, again, is kind of the odd man out, is that we're really good at education, right? This is a strength of our church. I would say if we were to fall prey to any of these, this is where we tend to say, well, church is really about education. It's about learning. And so we have to stop and we have to go, okay, what is the church actually about? What is it actually for? I messed up my notes. Which kind of takes us back to where we started a couple weeks ago. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 16, sorry. We'll We're going to look at a couple of passages this morning. So Matthew 16, this is where we got sidetracked, but we're gonna press on through this week. Matthew 16, and then in starting in verse 15. So this is where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's asking them, okay, so who do you say that I am? And Peter, in verse 16, he answers correctly. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then verse 17, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And he continues from there. So this is where he says, my church. Okay, so on you, Peter, or on your confession of Christ, I'm going to build the church. Now, what's interesting here is this word church. Okay, the word church is actually not the best translation from what Jesus actually says. Okay, so Jesus is probably speaking in Aramaic, and then that's being translated into the Greek. And so if you go back to the Greek text, it's the word ekklesia. Okay, ekklesia does not mean church. So does anybody know what ekklesia means? Or can
assembly?
Yeah. Okay, so this is, let me move this. So ekklesia, or maybe just one K, something like ekklesia. So assembly, gathering. And in fact, it's the assembling of people. It's not an assembly, it's the coming together of people. It's the gathering of people, it's the assembling of people, if I can put it that way. Okay. So where do we get the word church? From Jesus. So the word church is actually a German translation from a different word, and the word is Kriaken. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. But here's this. Kriaken. Which basically means belonging to the Lord. It's a possessive term. And so you can find this in like 1 Corinthians 11, 20, and a couple of other places. And so the German translation of this word turns into where we get our word church.
So wait a minute, that's Greek?
This is Greek.
Okay.
Yep. Which the German translation is basically Kirche, okay. Which we then turn into church. And so it's... The sense then is that we belong to the Lord, which is not a bad concept, okay? So it's not bad to use the word church. Like, that's it, throw out the word church. You can still use it. But understand, Matthew 16, when Jesus talks about, I'm going to build my church, that's not the word he uses. He uses the word ekklesia. He's talking about the coming together of people. And so over time, so this was a word that would have been used just in common dialogue. And so it would have been the reference to the assembling of people, the coming together of people. But then over time, it becomes so closely connected to the church that it becomes the assembly. I mean, it really becomes a noun at that point. And so I would say that, in fact, there's a couple of different New Testament scholars who have argued that community is probably the best English translation of that word, that we are a community, that that's ekklesia as it's understood in its sense, is community, which is why you find so many churches that use the word community in their title. So it's a good word, that it's the community of believers. Which means then, that the church is not separate from us, which shouldn't be news to anybody here, but the church is us, right? We are the church. We're not something that the church, we're not outside of the church, individuals outside of the church, that the church then is educating and making our lives better or providing goods and services, but we are the church, each and every one of us. So if you go to Romans 12, let's look at a couple of places where Paul talks about the church. So in Romans 12, if you start in verse 4, this is how Paul refers to it. He says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And so this concept here is that as the church, we are not, put it this way, just get rid of this one. I'm not here to have my educational needs met. It's more put in the context of one another. So in the New Testament, you find a lot of these passages where the Apostle Paul refers to one another, love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, challenge one another, exhort one another, all of this different language, care for, have compassion for one another. And so if we take this idea, you can actually take these same assumptions, but if we put in the concept of community, it changes the paradigm. Instead of this something that's outside of us that's supposed to educate me, that's supposed to make me better and make my family better, it's actually now we're supposed to one another educate each other. That we're supposed to improve, but we're really trying to together improve one another through encouragement, through coming alongside each other. In my notes, I said, church isn't about meeting my needs. It's about meeting the needs of one another. Church isn't about my education. It's about educating one another. It's not about entertainment. It's about encouraging and inspiring and pushing one another. Ultimately, church is it's us, right? So there's a whole bunch of us. Men and women, and boys and girls, and all the rest. So the whole bunch of us, and it's in the one another that church happens. It's not church as this outside entity that does something to us, but it's in our interaction together in community as we educate one another, as we inspire one another, as we care for one another, as we meet each other's needs, that this actually happens. And what happens is not just I'm not here just for my education or any of these things, but it's ultimately, it's this 3D life transformation. And so the best analogy for this, and this is why you find this in Scripture, is the family. I mean, you think about your kids. You're not just trying to educate your kids. You're not just trying to make them good. You're not just trying to do this these one-dimensional parts. You're trying to create a 3D human person. Right, this 3D life transformation, a well-rounded individual living out the fullest of what God intends in human life. And so it's the same idea in the church that we have to, we can't get caught up in one or two dimensions of what church is about, of these assumptions. If church is just about my education, then I'm going to view it very differently than if I view church as about life transformation. If I view church as just being about improving my needs, then I'm going to view it very differently than if I view it as full life transformation. So let me give you an example. So if the church is just about my education, then what happens when you've heard it? I mean, if you've been to seminary, you've been to Bible college, or you've been in the church for a really long time, and you keep hearing the gospel every week, and you keep hearing about this guy Jesus, you're like, I got it. If it's just about education, what happens? You don't need to go anymore. That's it.
Yeah, but isn't there the sense that you're never going to know everything?
True, true. There is that sense. But a lot of people quit reading after college, right? A lot of people quit learning. So some people are really wired that way. You guys, because you're here, are probably wired that way more than other people. It's a guess. And that's not a criticism. I would be here too. That's part of how our church operates. And that's part of what makes our church distinct, I think. And that's a good thing, all right? So yeah, you're right. You can always be learning. But at some point, it's like, all right, I think for a lot of people, I've got enough. Let's go. And isn't there's something to be said for, hey, you've learned all of this. Are you even applying it? Like, are you living it out to its fullest? Well, you know what? I'll come back when I've mastered all of this, and then I'll start getting new information. So I think there's that plays into it as well.
Or even, you know, the sermons are geared for a wider audience. And
Mm-hmm.
It is quite possible that you go to the service and not or anything new. And so then people say, oh, well, I'm going to stay home and listen to my CD series.
Yeah. I can listen to a different podcast. I can learn something different. Yeah. Yeah. There's something, and there's something, again, this is not, education is not a bad thing. Like, this is a good thing, but it's just one part of us. I'm not just a brain on a stick, right? So remember, we talked about Plato's dialogue, Timaeus, a long time ago. And he's got this, you know, in that dialogue, he talks about how we're just rational, reasonable. Am I saying it right? Am I right? Okay. Now, this was like months ago, I think. And so in the dialogue, and this is very influential in the way that we operate in Western society today, is that we are basically rational, reasonable creatures. And so in the dialogue, you know, you have this rational thing, and so it needs the most perfect carrier for that rational being, and so that is the circle, because nothing is more perfect than the circle, not the one that I just drew. That was not perfect. And so then it's like, well, you can't just have these little circles bounding around on the ground. So then the gods go, well, we're going to give them these bodies, you know, that are just a necessary evil. It's just, and so all the emotions and pain and all that kind of stuff that you feel, elation, pleasure, all of that, that's just, it's necessary evil so that you can protect and take good care of your sphere, your head, because inside that's what's most true of you, okay? And so we want to, that guy has one big head on a side note, like really. So what we want to do is we want to reject that. We want to reject that and say, no, God has created us 3D, right? That we are rational people, sort of. We're also very emotional people. And we're physical bodies and we're spirit. Like we're all of that, okay? And so the church is supposed to reflect that, and that happens through life. That's why you don't just educate your kids and never give them a hug. That's why you don't just educate your kids and never teach them anything else or love them or care for their other needs or whatever. And it's not just so that they'll just be perfect little brains. It's because you love them as people, and you want them to be well-adjusted, you know, full of life and have full life transformation. Okay, so same with if you go down the list of like self-improvement. If you think that the church is just about self-improvement, if I'm not getting something that's super practical that day that's going to help me go and accomplish X, then I'm not going to go anymore. If you're not giving me something that I can use to make my family better, then I'm not going to go anymore. Again, all these things are good things. I believe in making families stronger. I believe in making marriages stronger. Believe in making us better. This is part of growing in sanctification. But it's all of these things really together and not just one. Okay, so the church isn't about me. It's about us. And as such, we are not consumers, right? Because it's this family. It's one another. We're contributors. And so when we think about the church, we don't think of, we need to get away from this idea of I'm going to go to church and I'm going to receive whatever is being given to me. We have to think of it in terms of I'm going to go, and part of what I do is I receive, but part of what I do is I contribute. It's a family. In your family, I don't know how your family operates. We just had Thanksgiving. And when we do Thanksgiving, there's different roles that everybody plays in a Thanksgiving meal. You know, my dad is the one who fried the turkey, okay? My mom is the one who makes the pies. My sister is the one who shows up with her brood of kids. And we all, right? We all have different things that we're doing, we're trying to contribute to.
How much is a brood?
Actually, less than us.
So what does that mean?
Three. They have three. They're about to have four.
So if they're a brood, what are you?
I don't know. We're a bigger brood. I don't know. It was, I think what felt overwhelming is we already had the four, and then the three walked in, so now there were seven, and my sister's pregnant at the same time. You're just like, wow, this is going to get crazy, you know, this is getting really overwhelming. But everybody's got a different role that they play in the family dynamic, you know, and then we all help clean up, and we all help, right? And so there's this contribution, and we're all receiving, but we're all contributing at the same time. And so I guess my... where I want to just kind of land with this is just that we want to be a people that when we come to church, it's not this geographic location. It's when we come together, it's in coming together that we're the church. It's the assembling of us. We are this community, and as such, we're not consumers. We're not here to purchase goods and services. We're here to receive, but also to give. We serve, and we're served. And we're all part of doing this thing together. Now, any thoughts on that? And then I'm going to take a slightly different direction.
I'm just going to comment that when we hear the word church, we think of a building.
Exactly. Yeah.
People.
Yep.
I was thinking of it in terms of sports. Somebody said, you know, I'm part of a baseball team, you don't picture a stadium. And when someone says, I'm going to baseball practice, you don't picture a stadium.
A stadium.
You think of all the activities and all the people.
Yeah.
The church is really more like that. Like, we're going to go and do and help each other grow and like a team than it's like the stadium.
Yeah.
This may be the next step you're talking about, but I think especially a lot of people, even if it is very community focused, and obviously, like you said, all those things are wonderful things that every church needs to teach, but obviously, I think the biggest thing is that it's an act of worship regardless, and when it's too focused on the things that the church offers. Like, I've been, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, my church does this, and this.
Yeah.
And literally going to the service and actually just spending time with God is, like, kind of the least important part of the Sunday activities.
Yeah. Yeah, worship gets lost along the way. Yeah, I think that's very true. Again, it becomes about us. When we see the church as this separate entity, this organization that exists apart from us, then it's something that I'm taking from, I'm receiving from, I'm paying for, however you want to look at it. When it's us coming together, and we're coming together for a couple of very specific purposes that we're going to get to later. Yeah.
I think that's the idea that the church is about me is a purely a Western cultural phenomenon because we're all about ourselves, honestly. Or is that something that is somewhat universal for everybody?
That's a good question. I've only lived in the Western world, so in Europe it's highly individualized as well, same as here. And so we're a highly, highly, highly individualistic society, and so everything is about us. Asako, you've lived in the East, not the Western.
Yeah. I would say that at least until when I grew up, I can only speak for Japan. I don't know about China and the other countries.
Sure.
It is definitely more family and society. It is a little less about your rights and your entitlement. Mm-hmm. You kind of educated. There was an article written about how you raise children in the West and how you raise children in Asia or in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And in Japan, there's a focus of raising children almost to the extreme of making sure that the child is not going to be troublesome to the community, and so that he will be a good citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And in the West, it's more about making sure that the child is at its fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's more that individual oriented, whereas in the East it's more community oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of, and in public school you definitely learn to cooperate. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen these YouTube videos of how public school in Japan is organized. You don't hire anybody to clean up your mess. It's all run by the students. Students have the cleaning up duty. They serve the lunches. Of course, there's a cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all cleaned up by the students. It's all like, you know, like you cooperate together. And it's very, group oriented. Now, there are, of course, some kids who just are so individualist. They don't like that type of thing.
Mm.
And so it's a little fun for those. So it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there would be no kids who would be, you know, throwing away trash in the yard because
they're going to have to pick it up. Yeah.
And it's kind of like about me seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's so good. Anyway. That's good.
Well, I think you have to, I mean, you hear all the stories of missionaries that people just walk for miles just to hear the word and just to worship. And here we complain about traffic on the way.
Yeah.
And I think, not to say that there aren't people here in America that are so grateful for church, but I think what James said at point, I mean, from all I've heard from mission stories, that there are other places that are just far more grateful.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, as far as it being unique, I think like in Rome and Greece, you'd have different churches you'd go to for different needs. you know, for Aphrodite or for this god or for fertility or for farming. You go to different gods, and but I think it's unique here is there's one church. You go for everything, so you're consuming one as opposed to going to the mall of religions and shopping for different things.
I also think that this part of America is also different from the North.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Because here, the majority are Christians. And in the North, the minority, the Christians are not a majority. It's a minority. Mm-hmm. A lot of other things. And so I feel like the Christians that I met in the North are really Christians because they're just going through the trouble. There's not that many. I mean, we were living in New York City. Mm-hmm. There aren't that many churches. Like, there's one over here and everywhere. Mm-hmm. You have, like, maybe two or three to choose from.
Right.
And, you know, and the Christians, they are really Christians.
Yeah.
I hear it's more of a social.
It's very much a cultural Christianity here. So
yeah.
we don't know how many people are actually Christians and how many people are just as part of the culture. And you know, when I was living in Italy, well, everybody was Catholic.
Right.
Well, did any of them go to church? Well, no, none of them did. Well, of course I'm Catholic. I'm Italian. I mean, that was literally the attitude. Yeah, and so it's not that different here. I think within the Southern Bible Belt. But you know, I had the same thing when I was leaving. You know, this part of the country and going to school in Chicago, it was so refreshing, honestly, because I was suddenly going to this church where it's like people went to that church because it meant something to them.
Yeah.
And it had to, because why on earth would you do it otherwise? Like there was no pressure. There was no sense of like, well, this is just what we do because we're from here or whatever. And there were not this family history, which again, I should say, it's not a bad thing that it's part of like your family tradition of like, we go to church on Sunday mornings. That was a foreign concept there. And so I was engaging with, you know, these Christians and I was like, wow, you take this really seriously. You're really trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus in your life and in this context. And I'd rarely seen that before, being more from the South. Yeah, no, that's
and
a good.
I feel like when you're in the North or even beyond, which is harder to be Christian, it just like the Christians who are not really Christians get weeded out. It's a bad way of saying it, but
yeah,
you know, because you don't have to be Christian.
Yeah,
you know, and
it could be negative. I mean, it actually like no one's gonna. It's very rare in this culture that if you say, "Well, and I go to church," people are like, they might inwardly be judging you, but they're probably just like, well, that's expected. Whereas in some parts of the country, it's like you go to church, it's like, what kind of a weirdo are you? You know, something like, okay, that guy's clearly an idiot, you know, if they would be willing to go to church. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. That's a good point. So, yeah, so there's how we view the church is, it has a lot of implications for how we view the church or for and how we view it has a lot of implications for how we then are part of the church, how we go about being part of the life of the church. And I think that's what I want us to like be aware of. We're going to get into in the coming weeks what the church, I would say the purpose behind the church. Let me make one other thing, and I erased it, but I skipped over this and I didn't intend to, but it's worth stopping and looking at. In the word ecclesia, this is often made a big deal out of. Ecclesia is a couple of different words that are put together, and the prefix ek is out of. Okay, and so a lot of is made of this idea that ecclesia, so remember this assembly, is not just a bringing together, but it's pulling out of. We're pulling out of the world. God is pulling us out from everybody else to create this unique people. And has anybody heard that? Really? Clearly, I've spent too much time in deep. Okay. If you ever hear that, ignore them. All right? Darn it, I created a problem that you didn't have. That was not my intention. Okay, so I won't bother. So here's the deal. You will find people who will well-intentioned, they try to make, I think they stretch the word beyond the sense that it can actually carry, and they're trying to say, and they're trying to make a point that is in some sense valid, which is that we are not part of the world in the same way that everybody else is, that we are supposed to be set apart, we're supposed to be unique. And so they say, well, ecclesia, Jesus is saying you're an assembly, and you're pulling us out of the world. If you would, turn to John 17. I'll close with this. I can find it. John 17, and then verse... somebody start in verse 14 and read through 18. 14 through 18. Anybody? Great, thank you. Okay, so how many of you have heard in but not of? Okay, good. All right, got one. All right, in but not of the world. Okay, I think that's true. I think that's true. I think the danger, though, with in but not of is that there's a... It can have a sense of, look, we're stuck in this world. And it sucks. This terrible, horrible, awful world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Just be clear, okay? And Jesus says they're not of the world. But he has a very important thing that he says right here in verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And so when he says that we're not of the world, right, this is just who we are. Like, because we have Christ, because the Holy Spirit has come into our lives and changed us, we're new creations, we are not of the world. We are set apart, we are different, we are unique in that sense, okay? But it's not this static, okay, we're not of the world, but in the meantime, we're just kind of stuck here in this world. Let's feel sorry for ourselves. Let's distance ourselves from the world as much as we can because we're not of it. Instead, he says, no, you're not of the world, and it's actually for that reason that I'm going to send you into the world. Did you catch that? He says, I was sent into the world. I'm sending you into the world. You know, in 1 Corinthians 5, this is the Apostle Paul talking about how we are ambassadors. He sends us into the world. And so it's because we're not of the world that we are unique, that we are set apart, that we have the Holy Spirit. We have this hope that nobody else has. We have the keys to life, eternal life, that he says, okay, now I'm going to send you into the world. And it's not this, let's feel sorry for ourselves that we're stuck in this world and until Jesus comes back. It's no, there's a mission here. There's a purpose. And so when we think about the church, I'll just tell you, like, I think of the church, this is the analogy that I tend to use.
And this is real quick, so he was talking to the disciples, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, sorry, I should have given a context there. Yeah, so he's praying for the disciples. He's describing them, right? I've given them your word. I've given the disciples the word, and the world has hated them. They're not of the world any more than I am of the world. So they've become like me. They're with me and the Father. He talks about how just as I and the Father are one, they're going to be one. And so the analogy that I use, I don't know if I can draw this. The USS Enterprise. It's not terrible.
No.
Yeah, okay. You can kind of see what that is. Okay. We are the church, and so we meet each other's needs. It's USS Enterprise. You can't tell? Star Trek. Man, I thought that was pretty awesome.
It's an alien.
I know. At first I thought it looked kind of like a stationary bicycle. Thank you. Thank you. Immediately. All right. I'm not a Trekkie, so if that doesn't look anything like it, I have no idea. All right. I've seen the last couple of movies. It looked like I thought it was a stationary bicycle when I drew it.
You were confident, though. You just, like, moved on. Like, everybody knows what I'm
drawing. Yeah, it's USS Enterprise. Yeah, USS, see? USS Int.
I was still trying to figure out why half of those people up there are on skateboards.
You know, I'm going to take an art class. That'll be my continuing education in art class. as the church, we're supposed to meet each other's needs. We educate one another. We inspire one another. We encourage one another. We come, right? We mourn with each other and all of the rest. But there's a purpose to it, that he sends us into the world. And so, you know, like I said, I'm not Trekkie, but even I remember to boldly go where no man has gone before. But for the ship to make it, right, for the ship to be able to fly and function, there has to be that team concept. You know, Randy was talking about like this, it's a team sport. It's a family, it's a team that each are receiving and giving. Each one is serving and being served. It's not consumers, it's contributors. And they all serve and do everything within here so that it can go and it can be part of the mission that God's called to be part of. And so Jesus calls us to be the church, not to create this organization that we can, purchase goods and services, but that we are the church. When we come together, we serve one another, we receive from one another, and there's something greater than us that's at stake. And that we're supposed to be on this mission to boldly go where no man has gone before. That God has created this. I think we underestimate just how significant the church actually is. That this is God's announcement to the world of his rescue plan. So he's already accomplished it through Christ and his death and resurrection. But if nobody hears about it, right, he's given us this mission to go and to proclaim it. And that's his whole plan. Like, that's it. There's no other plan involved. It's us. And so we have to recognize, like, we have to understand, we have to change our perspective, what the church is, how we relate to it, so that we're going to come together and we're going to be on this mission because there's so much at stake. So that was just my last little point there. I'll stop there. We're running out of time. Any comments, any questions, any thoughts? Yeah, Tom.
Look, the irony here is that the New Testament actually elevates the individual by doing away with the distinction Greek and Jew, male and female. The individual has significance totally apart from social structure.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have talked about how the individualism has been taken to the point where it interferes, or I should say, filters out the significance of the church.
Yeah, when Asuka was talking, I think what crossed my mind is that you need both. Like you need. I think there's always a weakness. If you're just talking about individual, you're just talking about community. And I think in the Western world, in American culture, we're so highly individualistic. Like we have to lean towards the community, and we have to lean towards this idea of family, of community. But you need both. Like both are very, very crucial and significant. And God creates each person in his image. But then he brings us together to create a mosaic of his image as well. And so we're not just individuals doing this Jesus thing on our own. There's something unique when we come together, but it's in the elevation of the individual that makes the community that much more beautiful and that much more significant as it reflects God, I think. So you have to have both. I think that's really important. And we don't have time for it, but my other thought was like, we talk a lot about the weaknesses of just having the individual emphasized. We should talk about how having just the community emphasized has weaknesses as well. You need both. There's strengths and weaknesses to both. Anybody else? Thoughts?
Just as a little something that has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a little survey. In Japan, if you're in the supermarket and you just accidentally drop a can of tomatoes, and then it makes a nick. What do you do with it? In America, I would put it back. I'm so Americanized at this point, I would put it back.
Okay.
Right? It's not like there was a... In Japan, 99% of people would buy it because it's an imperfect product.
Interesting.
And you have kind of troubled the store for it.
Hmm.
Like, do they not have insurance?
Does the church not have insurance? Or the store, yeah.
It's like...
That's interesting.
I know.
That's interesting.
Eggs, if you crack an egg, they would always buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
In America, you would think that there's insurance.
Yeah.
Back to just respect for your community. It's not about me. And is that okay for me? Like, where should I go? About something really small. And people might not view it as wrong to download music from a different site versus going to the artist or buying something from that brand if you can kind of knock off. But that's thinking of me.
Right.
When if you're respecting your community and the businesses and the contributors, then you would say, okay, that's wrong. Yeah. Do it this way.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Is it the same? The store's not going to know it or not. But if it was your brother's small business, you wouldn't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
It just goes back
so,
to
yeah. Right.
Who is this taking from? Is it about me or the
yeah.
community?
Yeah.
Support
mm-hmm.
system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of refreshing to think about that.
Yeah. That's good.
So to kind of pull back.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the series goes.
Yeah.
What do we talk about? Like, what do we have left? What are we talking about again?
Well, we're talking about the church. And so this week is, what is the church? The church is us. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about other facets of how we define the church and what the church is. And in that, we begin to understand why we do church and how, you know, how we should do church, I think, better. So that's... This week was just, the church is us. We're the church. It's not a building. It's not an organization apart from us. It's us. We're the church. All right. Well, we'll wrap up there.